Thank you. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, White Plains family. It's good to worship with you again. Kids, there's just a couple more days left of school. Are you excited? I bet. My daughters, they have countdowns in their rooms to the final days of school. They've had that for a few weeks now, and I'm sure some of your teachers have those same countdowns. When you guys go to children's church, share with your teacher and with each other, like, what are you most excited about this summer? Maybe you've got a trip you're headed to, or you're going to see some grandparents, but share that with each other when you go off to children's church, okay? All right, you guys are dismissed to going upstairs. It's always good to see our kids here at church. And I get to watch them leave. You guys are still looking at me, but it's fun to see them run out in some cases, like they're excited to leave here. But this is for children who are in grades K through 6. And as they are leaving, I want to say thank you to many of you all who remembered my birthday last week. I not so subtly dropped a hint that my birthday was happening on Tuesday. And I want to say thank you to those who've dropped me notes of encouragement and cards and treats. I appreciate your kindness and your thoughtfulness. And my family and I, we continue to be blown away by your all's generosity, your care, and love for us. So thank you. For our seniors who are just graduating, it was good to see you all up here. It was good to hear from you about your plans. And for you guys and for those who are going to be graduating in the next couple of years, I would like to give y'all some fatherly advice this morning as someone who's not your father. So maybe you'll hear it, because sometimes it's hard to hear advice from your dad, but maybe it'll be easier to hear it from me. As you go off to college or wherever it is you're going, stay close to the church. Wherever that may be, if you don't know, I've been in student ministry for about as long as CJ's been living, and I've seen graduating teenager after graduating teenager leave school and leave the church. They leave the faith, and they break their parents' hearts, and they break their grandparents' hearts. As they graduate high school, they graduate church. If church has been a part of your childhood and teenage years like it has for you guys, don't leave that when you leave home. If you move to another city for work or school, one of the first things you should be doing now before you go is find a church family to be part of. Serve there. You will quickly find relationships that will help you settle in that new city. There are so many good things that happen when we're part of a church family, a church community. Plus, you will be an exciting addition to that church as you serve there in different areas of the church. Now, if you're headed to college, find a Christian ministry on campus and a church in that city to be a part of. Don't just replace church with a campus ministry. Definitely be part of a campus ministry if you have one at your school. Something like Crew or something that has Baptist in the middle of the name of it somewhere. If you need help finding a campus ministry at the school you're headed to, I would be happy to help research that with you and even make a call or send an email on your behalf introducing you to leaders there. CJ and I would also love to help you find a church in whatever city you may move to in the future. Now, you probably don't realize this now. There's no reason for you to know this at your stage in life. But the next few months are going to be some of the most defining months of the rest of your life. When life changes, it's easy to leave the church. And that's for all of us. When life changes, it's easy for us to leave the church. But for you graduates, your parents, if they're the ones who brought you to church as a kid and a teenager, they want you to stay connected to church. Your grandparents want that too. Life is changing for you. Whether you're going to school or work or military or whatever, it will not be like it was last week. It will not be like what it was last month. Life will be different for you. And as you go and chase whatever God has for you, in your new and developing freedom, you will see that life is fun. Life is weird. Life is chaotic. It's confusing. Life is hard. And life is painful. In addition to needing your family, you're going to need the community found in the church to help you process all the things that life is. If you're staying close to home, stay close to White Plains. We have a place here for you to serve, a place to grow, a place to connect. We have some exciting things in the fall that I want you to be a part of. I am excited for your future. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for what God has in store for you. Some of my favorite memories are the ones you're getting ready to make. Please know that wherever you go, no matter how far you go, whether you stay in the same room or in the same room at home or travel across the world, we are here for you. White Plains loves you, and we will always welcome you back here. I've given each one of you my card in your gift bag. If you ever need to talk, you have my number and you have my email address. Call, text, or email if you ever need to talk. May God bless you as you continue to follow Jesus in this next stage of life. White Plains family, I'm planning on trimming my sermon down this morning to give us plenty of time after service this morning for us to chat with these graduates over a cookie or two. We're going to have a cookie reception in the lobby as we end our service this morning, so please don't rush out before stopping and grabbing a cookie and encouraging these graduates. But before we share a cookie and a conversation, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. You are greater than our heart. You know everything. Help us to rest assured in Christ's redeeming work on our behalf when we don't feel like we are worthy. When our hearts tell us one thing, help us to remember the truth that we find in Scripture. God, you have given us the Spirit to help us. Thank you. Help us to hear from you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I trust that this message will apply to each one of us. But in God's sovereignty, I think this message is of particular importance to those who are graduating and the ones who are thinking about the future as they are getting closer to life changes. God has something for us all. If life is changing around us, and it often does, maybe a new home, a new job, a new city, a new relationship, whatever change might be swirling around in our mind, hear what God has for you from Scripture this morning. The main point that I would like for you to walk away with today is, as you wander and wander, listen to Scripture, not your heart. As you mentally travel around in your mind about spiritual things and other things, as you move around chasing what God has for you, carefully listen to Scripture and not your heart. Now, this is different advice than what the world gives, isn't it? The world will tell you to listen to your heart. Do what makes you happy. Follow your heart. Maybe you've heard those things in the past. Maybe you've even said them. I know I've heard them many times, but is that godly advice? Is it helpful for the Christian who's following after Jesus to follow their heart? The heart represents the core of who we are. It is only one of several vital organs, but for some reason the heart is the one that's most associated with life. It's also most associated, for whatever reason, with love. Should we trust our heart? Should we trust our heart if we're following after Jesus? Let's see what Scripture tells us about our heart. We can read in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 what Scripture says about the heart. You might remember this verse as I read it to you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Scripture tells us that our heart will lie to us. Your heart will deceive you. If you're following your heart, beware, you're following after something that will lie to you. Graduates, you will quickly find new temptations, whether you're in school or at work. You will be faced with making decisions about new things you've never had to decide on before. If you're like most of us, you're going to struggle to know what is true and what is good in the world around you. Your heart will tell you things, and your heart will lead you to places you've never been before. And if you're like most of us, your heart will put you in situations that you may not be prepared for. I don't know what sin looks like on the college campus today, but I know as an 18-year-old who had been connected to the church for most of my life, I wasn't prepared for some of the things that I experienced in my first week at Western. Now, I don't know much. I'm still learning, you guys, but I know you like when I talk about my sin, so you'll enjoy the next few moments. I remember feeling so much freedom that first week of Master Plan at Western Kentucky University. There was a group of us from Glasgow High School that had went to Western, and for some reason, we hung out, and we were hanging out. We found ourselves late at night hanging out in the stands of the football field when the police showed up. Now, I was, and still am, a pretty good kid. I had only experienced interacting with the police once before for a minor traffic issue. So when the police showed up at the football field on my first week of college campus, I was preparing myself for a trip to the campus jail. Now, it turns out, being in the football stadium as a college student is okay. It wasn't that way in high school, at least for me. You weren't supposed to be in the stands in the middle of the night. It's not permission for you to go exploring places you shouldn't be at. Don't take that advice from me this morning. But in an effort to strengthen our friendship, my old high school friends in our new college, we listened to our heart to grow closer to each other and grow closer to our campus, and we found ourselves in front of the police. Now, we were okay in this case, but it could have been a very different story, and for one of us, it was. Later that night, I left that group of friends and probably headed back to my dorm to hang out there. That was new too. So I am a homebody, and in one brush with the law for my first week of college was enough. But later, that same group of friends came by to get me to go help another friend who had found himself drinking. Now, I will spare you the rest of the details, but we were teenagers listening to our hearts, telling us that we were finally fit like adults, or at least like college students. My heart was telling me, you've made it to college. You can stay out as late as you want. You can spend time with your friends as you want. And following my heart, spent time with my friends, we interacted with the police, and one of us got passed out drunk, all within days of arriving on a college campus. Now, in God's goodness, I didn't spend any more time with that group of friends at Western. In His grace, I ended up connecting with students from Crew, and they're finding new friends, and my future wife in the coming years. In my following my heart, I was deceived on what college life was supposed to be like. In following God and staying connected to Scripture, I connected to a community of Christians at college. The church would still be a part of my life through college, and for me, it was in college I began to serve in the church in youth ministry. It could have been a very, very different story if I continued to follow after my heart. God is so much greater than our heart. And that's what we find in 1 John chapter 3, in verses 19 through 20. It says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything." So what do you think it means whenever our heart condemns us here in this part of this passage? Now, many times people, we will take a verse out of context and make it mean something totally different than what the author wanted it to mean. It's kind of weird. We only do this with the Bible. We don't do this with any other book. We don't quote it in a way that's contrary to what the author intended, and we don't try to twist other books to mean what we want it to mean, but we do so with the Bible, and we do it often. And we don't even mean to do it. It's just kind of, we teach ourselves this. For some, they will look at this passage, and they see a break in verse 19. And they see that it takes a turn to begin talking about matters of general condemnation for all types of sin. Now, while you can read it that way, it's kind of a leap. I think the logic flows, but it makes John look somewhat scattered in his writing. And as we know, John is a gifted writer. I want to point you back to John, what he was just talking about in verse 18. In verse 18, it says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." I want you to see that this verse, verse 18, is what John is speaking of in verses 19 and 20. Verse 18 leads to 19 and then 20. There isn't a hard break here where he changes what he's saying. Have you ever felt the pull to help a fellow believer, and then you are talked out of it by your heart? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever tried to justify not showing love to another believer by thinking about it too long? It's probably happened to you. The heart is deceitful. It's selfish at times. It will lie to you and tell you that your Christian brother or sister doesn't really need the help your spirit is encouraging you to offer. If that's happened to you, know that God is greater than your heart. Scripture is saying here that God knows the internal struggle that you have. Know that your past is forgiven when you've ignored the Spirit's prompting. God finds a way always to help those you felt needed help. However, it's not permission for you to keep on ignoring the Spirit's promptings in the future. When you feel the Spirit prompting, remember, love is active. If the Spirit's encouraging you to show love, that is from God. Our response is to be obedient. Our obedience gives us assurance that we can rest assured in Jesus for our salvation. If the Spirit is in us, we know we are His. We can thank God for those promptings. Thank God that the Spirit is encouraging you to love one another. Don't listen to your heart that may be trying to make you dismiss that prompting. Follow God. Resist your heart. For you graduates, you have a big week ahead of you. I want to remind you that the next few months are going to be some of the most defining months for the rest of your life. God is bigger than your heart. Spend time in Scripture. As you prepare for the fall, spend lots of time in Scripture this summer. It will do you good as you prepare for the fall. God is greater. He knows everything. We can know Him by reading Scripture. If you have a problem of listening to your heart that continues to lie to you and lead you into places that not only cause you pain and disappointment, but cause you problems with others and with God, spend time with God and in His Word. We have Scripture in our pockets. We have Scripture in our purses, in the Bible app. God is always with you. Scripture can always be with you too. Fill your mind with truth that's found in the Bible, especially those of you who are headed to college. You will be walking into a spiritual battlefield for truth. You are going to be encouraged to deconstruct why you believe the things you've always believed your whole life. Hold tight to Scripture. God can handle your questions. God can handle your doubts. God can handle all of those things, but bring those to God. Read Scripture. Talk with other believers. Pray through any attempt you have where you're trying to understand why you believe the things you believe. For those of you who are headed to college, the ways of the world are foolish. That's biblical, and it will be very evident by some of the classes you are required to take. I just graduated Friday night with a Master's of Arts degree in Biblical and Theological Studies. As I was graduating, I was also coaching soccer here in Scottsville. As my name was being mentioned at my graduation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I went to a party seminary. I had the graduation service pulled up on my phone while the soccer game was going on. And as my name was being called, two of the players that were on the bench with me, they gave me a high five. That was a fun memory, and it will probably stay with me the rest of my life. But I say that to say that I love philosophy. Outside of the study of biblical theology, philosophy is my favorite. It's a rewarding exercise, at least for me. If you talk to my wife, she does not love that I love philosophy. I love to think about what it means to exist. What do we owe each other? And why is there something rather than nothing? Those are questions that philosophy tries to answer, and I love it, but it didn't start off that way. I hated philosophy at Western because I had a lazy philosophy professor. Now, I don't remember his name, so I'll just call him Dr. Lazy. Dr. Lazy made a statement that's common thought in philosophy, especially as you study Plato and Plato's cave. Dr. Lazy said, "Thing is real." Have you heard that? According to Plato and his cave, we're all chained to the floor of a cave. And in our existence, we are only looking at a cave wall, and what we observe are just shadows of truth that are happening behind us. We are chained to this cave floor, looking at this cave wall, and above us is a fire, and objects of truth go back and forth in front of the fire and cast a shadow on the wall. And according to Plato, our reality is just shadows. Have you heard that before? Have you experienced people talk that way? It's interesting how the world searches for meaning and truth. The Matrix movie franchise is a modern retelling of Plato's cave. And when you look at that movie, you see what Plato's talking about. Now, this is not truth, but it is a real conversation in philosophy, and one that's interesting to have because it does circle around the idea of truth and real. These are very interesting conversations to have, especially on the college campus as you go there to help share the gospel. But back to Dr. Lazy. Dr. Lazy said, "Nothing is real." Now, I was probably 18 or 19 when I had his class, and I asked him what I thought was a very profound question for an 18-year-old or 19-year-old dealing with this reality that nothing is real. So I raised my hand. he called on me, and I probably had a smirk on my face. And I asked him, if nothing is real, then is our upcoming test real? Dr. Lazy looked at me, and it was his next few words that made me lose all faith in him as a professor and his instruction of philosophy. Do you know what he said to me? Dr. Lazy said, the test is real. So in teaching a worldview that nothing is real, my philosophy professor inconsistently violated that worldview with four words, that the test was real. So I coasted the rest of the semester, and I didn't really pick up much philosophy until I was reintroduced to it in seminary. And now I absolutely love it. But it's not just college students who are faced with deconstruction and questioning what and why we believe the things that we are taught in Scripture. The truth is, you and I, we probably all have inconsistent philosophy and inconsistent theology, especially if we don't spend much time thinking about why we believe the things that we believe and how those things impact our other beliefs. That's one of the reasons why I'm really excited about the fall. We're going to have a Baptist Faith and Message class where it's my hope that we're going to spend some time with the beliefs of what Baptists hold in common. And as we understand them, I trust that bigger questions will come out of those discussions. Our inconsistent theology and our inconsistent philosophies will be reshaped, hopefully, around Scripture. And we will turn from listening to our heart to really understanding God and Scripture better. God is greater than our heart. Philosophy speaks to the mind. It speaks to the heart. It tries to reason things that are unreasonable. Our hearts will deceive us. Our philosophy must take that into account. God knows everything. And what he has for us to know is found primarily in Scripture. Hold tight to Scripture. Spend time in his word. And as you wonder, turn to him. Trust in God. And I'll invite the worship team to come back up. So I've shortened my sermon by about 10 minutes, and I trust God has something for you this morning. But as CJ and I were talking through, what did this weekend look like? What did we hope you would get from this weekend? I shared with him that I hope that our White Plains family will respond to this cookie reception with our graduates. We're still about an hour before most churches even get out. Some haven't even started yet. So there's no reason to rush off. So take a few moments as we finish this morning and spend some time encouraging our graduates. Share some of your favorite appropriate stories from your college years with them. Encourage them and pray with them or pray for them. Their lives will begin to look very different in the coming weeks, in the coming months. And my hope is that this cookie reception will be one moment of connection that we have with each other to strengthen the bonds of family and faith. Love is active. Let us, in a moment, actively share a few minutes with each other over a cookie. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. You know our hearts. You know everything about us. Protect us from ourselves. Protect us from our hearts. Protect us from our attempt to understand and reason things that could lead us away from truth. You are so good. You are worthy to worship and worthy to study. Help us to spend more time searching your words to us in Scripture. I pray for these graduates that you will bless them as they follow after what you have for them next. Give them peace and comfort as life will be much different for them. Keep them close to you and to the church. I pray that for us all. Help us stay connected to you and to each other. For the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel, keep us connected. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we have a time of response this morning?